Deuteronomy 20 and verses 1 through 20, we'll be reading. And Deuteronomy 20 verse 1, we'll start there. These are the words of the Lord, so listen to them and believe what He says to us. When you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. So it shall be when you are on the verge of battle that the priest shall approach and speak to the people, and he shall say to them, "Hear, O Israel, today you are on the verge of battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid, and do not tremble or be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is He who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you." Then the officers shall speak to the people, saying, "What man is there who has built a new house and has not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man dedicate it. Also, what man is there who has planted a vineyard and has not eaten of it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man eat of it. And what man is there who has betrothed to a woman and has not married her? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man marry her." The officers shall speak further to the people and say, "What man is there who is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return to his house, lest his heart of his brethren faint like his heart." And so it shall be when the officers have finished speaking to the people, that they shall make captains of the armies to lead the people. When you go near a city to fight against it, then proclaim an offer of peace to it. And it shall be that if they accept your offer of peace and open to you, then all the people who are found in it shall be placed under tribute to you and serve you. Now if the city will not make peace with you, but war against you, then you shall besiege it. And when the Lord your God delivers it into your hands, you shall strike every male in it with the edge of the sword. But the women, the little ones, the livestock, and all that is in the city, all its spoil, you shall plunder for yourself, you shall eat the enemy's plunder, which the Lord your God gives you. Thus you shall do to all the cities which are very far from you, which are not of the cities of these nations. But of the cities of these peoples, which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance, you shall let nothing that breathes remain alive, but you shall utterly destroy them. The Hittite and the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite, just as the Lord your God has commanded you, lest they teach you to do according to all their abominations which they have done for their gods, and you sin against the Lord your God. When you besiege a city for a long time while making war against it to take it, you shall not destroy its trees by wielding an axe against them. If you can eat of them, do not cut them down to use in the siege, for the tree of the field is man's food. Only the trees which you know are not trees for food you may destroy and cut down to build siege works against the city that makes war with you until it is subdued. Those are God's words. And the first part of this chapter is about those who go out to war as God's people. And verses 1 through 4 are an encouragement that the Lord is with them. And also gives the duties of the priest in this regard, that they were to say something very particular to the army. And verse 3 and 4. And then verses 5 through 7 describes those who should be sent back to their homes from the army, those who have not dedicated their homes, those who have planted a vineyard but not eaten of it, or been engaged, as we would say, to a woman without being married to that woman. Then verses 8 and 9, any man who's fearful or faint-hearted, they should go home as well. In Matthew's and Luke's gospel, Jesus gives the parable of those who are invited to the feast, and there are, they use similar excuses that are reasoned here of why men should go home. They use similar excuses why they should not go to the feast. And there are people who didn't want to come to the supper and sup with Christ in the kingdom of God. They had a new field to take care of, they say. They have a new wife, new animals, a farm to attend to, a business that needs, you know, they need to work at. And beloved, here is the allusion in chapter 20 of Christ the Messiah, calling out His troops for the final holy war. But those who refuse to fight should know they will be executed from the feast of the victory. And then through verse 18, then before besieging a city at the command of the Lord, they must seek peace first. Then if no peace will be had, the city and all the males shall be destroyed. Everyone and everything else should be plundered except those cities of their inheritance. And the wicked shall be destroyed. Verses 17 and 18, so God's people wouldn't enter into idolatries. And this would be God's use of His people to bring about the judgment to the sons of Ham. And the sons of Ham are described for you in verse 17 of who they are. And that goes all the way back to the days of Noah. And these things seem very barbaric to us. But there is a purpose behind the Lord's design. And note that this was perfectly good and righteous and just, the just Lord who commanded this to be done. His purpose was to, through it, root out all the evil and not allow any allegiance of God's people, of Israel, to the Lord be damaged. That relationship with God and His people to be damaged. And to do that, all evil, all wickedness had to be rooted out. Because He demands that, just as today, we have total and complete allegiance to His Son, Jesus Christ, who sits on the throne. And so they had to, and in order for that to happen, they needed to get rid of all wickedness and evil and idolatries, false worship. But today, to do that, we do not go about destroying cities and nations as the church. We do, though, war against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And you must be barbaric in your battle against sin and wickedness and idolatry, beloved. Remember Ephesians 6? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And therefore, what does He say? But take up the whole armor of God. You're part of the army. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. He wants you to be able to stand, just like He wanted Israel to be able to stand as God's people to faithfully worship and bow down to Him. He wants us to do the same today in the church. And then finally, verses 19 to 20, when they entered the promised land, they were to go to war, but they were not to destroy the fruit trees. Why? Because the trees for fruit are good for us to eat. Right? They were good for them to eat. And just as Israel in this way was to be conscientious and about the environment, we ought to be as well, remembering, if we remember all the way back when we studied Genesis, how we must take care of what God has given to us in the creation and make it better even. And so here as well, they were to not destroy that which would provide them later for food. And our God has given us in His providence the land that we have, and so we ought to take care of what we have. Those are a few lessons we learn here. Let's pray. Our Father, thank You again for Your Word. We're thankful for how the principles of this chapter are still to be applied today. Not, of course, us going out and destroying nations and peoples and with the sword, but Father, we take the sword of the Spirit, and we, with the armor of God, we storm the gates of hell on the offensive, and we know the gates of Hades will not overcome us in our evangelism, in our testifying the truth of the gospel to our neighbors of the world, that from it we, even in that way, would be working for you and serving you to bring about putting to death evil in this world. And even amongst us, we might take up the armor of God and to fight against the sin that often is tempting us and trying to take us over, that is in our hearts even now. Father, we pray that you would root it out and you would destroy it, that you would help us by your Holy Spirit to put it to death, to mortify it. And Father, we ask that you would help us in that, to not quench the Spirit. When the Spirit moves and reveals truth in the Scriptures and how we ought to turn from sin, and yet we often are in our own sinful, weak flesh, still trying to go against that, to fight against that. Father, may it not be. And may you make us to be a submissive people, even to your Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Jesus Christ, who is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who sits on the throne of heaven and is sovereign and ruling over all nations and over all the church. And so, Father, make us to be a people who love you and bow down before you in all things. Father, we're thankful today that you've gathered us together. We're thankful today that you have brought to us visitors, and pray that you would bless them especially and grant to them your word and the gospel. And that in all of us, for all of us, that we would hear the gospel today and believe and be justified, be sanctified, that you would do your great work of sanctification and salvation today. Father, we also pray even that for our children, and even our children who have gone off and rejected and rebelled against you. Father, bring them to yourself. Make them to hear the word or remember the word today, and accompany that word by your Holy Spirit to change their hearts. That these children would not know one more day apart from your Son and salvation in Him and His love. We pray and we're thankful for Levi being here today. We ask that you would help him to hear the word, even as he is very young. We pray for, if I remember their names correctly, Summer, Holly, and Mason. We ask that you would comfort them and build them up and encourage them in your Son, Jesus Christ. You be with their mother, Kelly, and you would help her in her pregnancy and the surgery that she will probably have soon. We pray that it would go well and there would be nothing that would happen that would not be for your glory. And we know that you will bring that about. Pray that you would keep her safe, keep the baby safe, and bring that baby about safely and healthy, and that they would not know one more day apart from near salvation and saving faith of Jesus Christ. Father, we ask and we're thankful for your church. We ask that you would be with the Columbia Church and the Oklahoma City Church as they're praying and contemplating about a future pastor. We pray that you would give them wisdom and bring about the right pastor that you would have for them. And we know that will happen in accordance with your will. We pray the same that you would be with Denison as they next month will have a man come and candidate for a second time with them. We pray that you would bless them and give them wisdom and all these congregations wisdom as they seek to find a pastor, and we pray that you would provide a pastor for them. We know that you've already provided for them and your eternal decrees, and so we trust your plan. Father, we trust your plan here. As we've asked for wisdom for many things and for your blessing upon us, you have answered our prayers often. And pray that you would continue blessing us, continue revealing your will to us and guiding us, even and especially through the wisdom of the elders and deacons. Father, we ask that you would keep the Nichols family healthy. We know that Michael's not feeling well today. We pray that you would heal his body and strengthen him to serve you, but also love you. And be with Carla, that you would give her the word today, and remind, and both of them, the word today, and strengthen them to serve you. Father, as we pray for all of us here, we're thankful those who have been sick. We know that and many throughout this area have been sick recently. We praise you for healing those of us who are here this morning. We pray that you would heal those who are still sick, or not feeling the greatest. And Father, we're thankful again for your love to us, how you shower us with your grace upon grace, like an ocean coming through like our shower head. You just pour upon your grace unending, and we're thankful for this. And we give you all praise and glory, and we praise you in the name of your Son, who is our Mediator King, the Messiah, the Prince. Amen.